So our encounter season has begun, family. I don't know if you already knew that, but maybe this week you feel like all hell has broken loose. Anyone want to honestly give me a wave about that? Hey. So, yeah, it's okay. You're not alone. As God said, He's going to always cause us to triumph. Not because we're so good, but not because we're so clever, but because He's already won victory for you and for me. And so this morning, we're going to open up the Word of God. I want to stir your faith this morning. I want to stir your heart this morning. I want to pull you out of that miry clay through the truth of the Word of God and set your feet upon the rock that we've just been singing about. Because I believe that as we approach this season, God wants to do significant things, not just generically, but for you personally. If you're in the back row this morning, God knows you're there. If you're in the front row this morning, God knows you're there. If you're new to faith and you're just starting out on this journey, God is here because He wants to meet you this morning. So we're going to start in 2 Kings in the Old Testament in chapter 4. This is a story in the story of Elijah and Elisha. And we've come to the point where Elisha is the prophet ordained by God. And we'll start in verse 8, and I'm going to read the whole passage, and then we're going to open it up. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. She said, "I have duck a l'orange, crepe Suzette. You're welcome." He's a poor prophet. He's on a ministry wage, so he goes right in. Now, whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. So the first time it was good, and he kept coming back. So that's good. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. And then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." And one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. And he said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her and she stood before him. And Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you've gone to all this trouble for us. The room, the bed, the lamp, the chair. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" And she replied, "I have a home among my own people." The title of my message this morning, I'm going to put it up on the screen so you can think about it for a bit, is "I'm fine, thanks." We come to a season of encounter. And really what God is doing is spreading a table before us. He says, "I've got healing for you. I've got favor for you. I've got wisdom for you. I've got peace for you. I've got grace for you. I've got forgiveness for you. I've got provision for all of your needs." And He comes to us and He says, what would you like me to do for you? What would you like me this morning? I'm Gehazi this morning. I'm the messenger of the prophet. And I'm saying to you this morning, Hope Center, what would you like this morning? You can take any of the things we've just been singing about. Some of you need healing in your body. Any of those things, what can I do for you this morning? And you know what we do in our very Australian, unassuming, you don't want to bother anyone kind of way? I'm fine, thanks. I'm fine, thanks. And oh, what a shame it would be if you and I came to this season of encounter, which we believe is by the hand of God and by the design of God, and we didn't just make it up by throwing a dart at a calendar and saying, "Oh, that looks good, that weekend's free." This is God coming to us as a church and saying, "What would you like me to do for you?" And what a shame it would be if you and I went, "Oh, I'm fine, thanks. I don't want to be any trouble. I don't want to put you out, God." And so we encounter God and we hear these promises of salvation, of healing, of peace, of provision. It's an open checkbook for you and I. Is there anything you need or want? Oh, but you see, my need's not very important. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. We don't want to make a fuss, you know. I'm not desperate enough. You know, there's people, we just talked about the mothers that are in the hospital. I mean, they've got desperate needs, but look, I'm good. I paid the bills this week and I drove here in a car and I went to the doctor, but I'm, yeah, it's I'm okay, I'm fine, thanks. Some of us think we don't want to bother God because he's real busy with like overseas missions and, you know, we're here in Brisbane and he's busy with big important deals, and why would God even offer to care for me and my wants? And is it even a need? Like, it's maybe you just feel like something on the inside, you want it. Maybe we're not sure that God really wants to hear from us. Maybe it's because in your life and your world, you felt like you've been marginalized or pushed aside or dismissed or said, oh, don't worry about her. She's just fill in the blank. And maybe you have taken that feeling and feel like that's what God thinks about you, that actually you're just one of those naggy people. You're just always needy. You're just a bother. You're just a pain. And maybe God doesn't really want to hear much from me. But this morning, can I ask you please to open up your heart to the God who stands before you and says, what would you like me to do for you? What would you personally? It might not be a desperate need. It might not feel overly important. It might feel like there's many other things, many other prayers that God could answer today. But he's coming to you. He's seeking you out. If you are here this morning, it's in the plan of God that you are here to hear this word, to receive from him today. And he is saying to you, what would you like me to do? And I don't want one of us in this room to say, God, I'm fine, thanks. So just mentally, we're going to play the game where, you know, this is a kind of that awful game that you play at like parties that aren't real small but aren't real big. And everyone has to stand up. Don't actually. Everyone has to stand up, and then I say things and you sit down if it applies to you, and the last person standing gets a $5 box of chocolates, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to play that game, but just stay seated and stand up in your head. Everyone got that? I know it's Sunday morning, like this is not the PM service, but okay, we mentally play the game. I'm going to say something. If it in your head, everyone stay seated. In your head, stand up. All right, everyone's sitting down in real life, but in your head you're standing up. Got it? Okay. And then I'm going to ask you all to stand, and we're just playing along in our head. Okay. So do you have a sickness or pain in your body that needs healing? Sit down in your head. Have a relationship in your life that is in conflict or needs restoration? Sit down in your head. Have a decision to make where you feel like you've got wisdom or clarity that you're just not sure and you need God to help you? Sit down in your head. If you have a family member who's making poor choices and you just don't know how to help them navigate this season that they're in and your heart is hurting because of what they're going through, sit down in your head. Some of you have a financial challenge. Right now it's just tough. And the bills pile up and the bank account dwindles, and maybe you own a business and it's just been a rough season. Sit down in your head. All right, there's three people still standing, so hang on. If you have an idea or a dream that you would love to pursue, but it feels too risky, too audacious, or too out there for you to naturally conquer in your own strength, sit down in your head. All right, look around. Nobody is standing up. Every single person in this room is now sitting down in your head. If you're anything like me, you sat down 5 times. Okay? Hey? Can I say something rude? Too bad. You are not fine, thanks. You're not. I know it's wrong if you go to work tomorrow and someone says, how are you doing? The only appropriate answer is, I'm fine, thanks, right? Like, this is our social norm. This is what we do. This is the way we cooperate with other people. Nobody wants you to pour out your heart at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning when you just got to work, right? But this is God. We can't just say to God, I'm fine, thanks. You know why? You're not. I just read you that list. You're so not fine. I'm so not fine. I have needs. I have things in my heart. I have things that maybe they're not desperate to anybody else, but to me, they consume my heart and my life, and I need Jesus. I need him. I need him like the very breath that I'm going to breathe. I need Jesus to come and intervene and do the things that only he can do. And you need Jesus. Not one of us can live this life and not rely on the strength and power that is supernaturally available to us from heaven. Otherwise, the cross is meaningless. We had Easter a few weeks ago, and if you and I can do this on our own, we shouldn't bother. We need him. You need healing. You need strength. You need wisdom. You need grace. You need forgiveness. You need clarity. You need peace. You need it. There's a scripture that says, you have not because you ask not. That's the truth. But yeah, let's be real for a second. I've already been rude, so now I'll be real. I don't want to ask. It's Mother's Day next week, so give me a minute. As a mother, one of the more frustrating parts of my life is that every night, and I mean every night, I mean 365 and a quarter of the year, we finish dinner, we sit around at the table, and then my children, who are highly intelligent, highly capable, highly socially great human beings, give me this blank look, as if to say, what do I do now? And every night, I have to say, guys, would you clear the table? Would you stack the dishwasher? Would you wipe the bench? Would you? I mean, every night. Every, and I'm like, same kitchen, same dishwasher, same dishes. But if I don't say it, oh, they're off. They're gone. They're moosh. They're quiet. They're not to be found. I mean, we have a small house and I'm like, where are you? Whoa, 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 whoa. It's echoes coming back at me. No one can hear me talking in that moment, right? And I say to myself, why do I have to ask? Some of you are married. Some of you have been married many, many more years than I have. My husband's over here. He's amazing. And do you ever think to yourself, surely I don't have to ask after 23 years. Surely by now. Surely. Surely by now. You know what I want without me having to say it. In fact, I read my Bible and it says God already knows my thoughts. So why do I have to ask him? See, back in 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman is talking to the prophet Elisha. He's a prophet. He's got a hotline to heaven. Why does he have to come and ask, what would you like me to do for you? Surely, Elisha, you should already know, right? Why? Why? And we can get caught up and we can find this stumbling block called, why do I have to ask? God, why do I have to pray? You already know what's going on in my world. Why do I have to say anything to you? Why do we even have to? To be honest, I don't really know. And Shunammite woman, I can imagine in her heart of hearts, goes, you figure it out, mate. She was Australian Shunammite. She says, you figure it out. If you're the prophet and you're hearing from God and you're coming to do miracles and you've been in my house all this time, have you ever noticed there's no children running around and I've built you a special room up the top? Come on, Elisha. Just do it. Just do the miracle. Why do I have to ask? And so she says, I'm fine, thanks. And some of you
it's something you need from God. And all hell says, don't ask. He should already know. And so we sit silently and we say, I'm fine, thanks. No, I don't need to go out on that altar call. I've asked God for prayer many times before. And by the way, God, you know where I live. You know my phone number. You know my address. When you're ready, you just come and fix it. You just come and do it for me. What do I have to ask for, God? We can get this attitude, this heart hardness that says, I don't want to humble myself to ask. I don't want to have to put the effort in. God already should know all my needs and all my problems and everything that's going on in my world. So why do I have to ask? I'm not sure the answer of this because I'm not God and we can all be grateful for that. But in Mark 10:51, Jesus encounters a man who's blind. He's very obviously blind. He's stumbling around. He's got people helping him. He's, you know, it's an obvious thing. Also, Jesus is the Son of God, so he knows everything, right? Like, you get the picture. Jesus encounters this man, and do you know what he says to him, which seems kind of rude? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus encounters a blind man, and he says, and blind man, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man says, Lord, I want my sight. It would have been so easy to say, I'm fine, thanks. I don't want your charity. I don't want your pity. I don't want people around me making a fuss. He says, I want my sight. I want to see. And I pray that something of that spirit will capture each one of our hearts today. That when God comes and says, I've got provision, I've got grace, I've got freedom for you, we will say, God, I want that. I want that. And I am not going to just sit by and say, I'm fine, thanks, when the opportunity to encounter God is right in front of me. See, the Holy Spirit is here today. He's here. And he's asking you, what do you want me to do for you? We go on in the Shunammite woman's story and see she doesn't have a child. She's barren. So Elisha comes to her and says, you're barren, but this time next year, I'm going to come back and visit you again. Your house is going to be filled with the cries of a child. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. God gives her the miracle that she so desired in her heart. You see, she built a room for the man of God. And that space was going to house her miracle one way or another. God is preparing you now in this season for things that are coming in your next season. The faith that he's preparing on the inside of you in this season, the season of waiting, the season of asking, the season of saying, heaven, you hear me? I'm praying. I'm calling on you. I'm calling on the God of Mary and David and Jacob. I'm calling on you, God. That season right now where we call on God and we encounter him and we pray and we ask of him. You don't know that in the next season, you're making preparations now for what God wants to do in your house, in your family, in your life, and in your future. But that, my friends, is what God will do for each one of us. Sometimes the vision makes sense only in hindsight. She didn't know. She's just a generous woman thinking, I want to make space for the man of God. I'm going to cook him the best duck a l'orange he's ever had. And next time, I'm going to cook it even better than the time before. And he's going to keep coming back. She's making space for a miracle. She's making space for the presence of God to invade her situation, the power of God to invade her situation. The child grows and we pick it up later down in this chapter. And this child dies just so suddenly. And the servant lifts him up and takes him to his mother. And the mother lifts him up and she takes him to the room that belongs to the man of God and she lays him out on the bed. She calls to her husband in verse 22 and she says, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. And her husband says, why go to him today? It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. And she goes, it's all right. You can just hear the grinding of the back teeth in that moment. It's all right. She saddled the donkey and said to the servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. Let's go. She's on a mission now. So she sets out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. That's a whole nother message that we don't have time for today, but there you go. And he saw it in the distance, and the man of God said to Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Maybe she's bringing me Uber, duck a l'orange, on Mount Carmel. Even better. There's a whole story about Mount Carmel and God feeding. So, you know, it fits, right? And Gehazi comes out. Now, remember, Gehazi is not the prophet. He comes out and he says, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? And what does she say? Everything is all right. But it's not, I'm fine, thanks. This woman is on a mission and nothing is going to stop her. Not even the small talk of asking about the family. This time she says, you know what? I made this mistake once before. I made the mistake once before where I was encountering the presence of God and I was like, oh, I'm chill, I'm fine, thanks. Thanks very much. That's for other people. I'm good. Don't have any real pressing needs. I'm okay. Next time, she's like, oh, we going. Okay? This time, we're not missing out. She'd been here before. So she goes out and she falls at the feet of Elisha. In verse 28, and here, some of you just got to get this morning. She says, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? Some of you, this season has been such a disappointment to your heart. The enemy has allowed your heart just to get burnt and just so hurt. That I say, let's pray and ask God. And you're going, you don't understand. I've been praying for years. It's too hard. It's too hard to have faith. It hurts too much to believe because right now it looks like death. God's not afraid of your pain. He's not afraid of us coming to Him. In the hardest of hard seasons, God is not afraid of you bringing all of your needs and laying them down at His feet and saying, God, this hurts like, I won't say it. I can't handle any more disappointment, God. I can't. I can't even bring myself to this faith that everyone around me is talking about because it's so hard on the inside. But I want to tell you, our God is in the business of miracles. It's His MO. He doesn't have any other alternative. God doesn't go, oh, there, darling. You'll be right. Pat on the back. Church does that. We do that to each other sometimes. Oh, that's very sad. Oh, well, what are we going to eat for lunch? Because we can't deal with this amount of pain. We can't just live with it anymore. And so we try and go, oh, we'll just distract ourselves from all that's going on. And don't go there. Just don't go there, right? And someone will tell you that you just got to speak faith and never let God know what you actually need because that's unbelief and that's a load of rubbish. God's okay. He's okay when you doubt. He's okay when you fear. He doesn't want you to live there. But He's okay with it. Bring it to Him. Don't hide it away from Him and say, oh, no, it's okay. She says, didn't you give me a son? Right. Get this. Elisha says to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, don't greet him. This is urgent. And if anyone greets you, don't answer. That's a word for somebody. Amen. Just stop. You know they're just going to suck all the faith out of you. Keep going. Now get out of your way. So he got up. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But get this, verse 30. This is it. Team's going to come back in a second. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, she's getting fierce now, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. This is the woman who earlier in the chapter is like, oh, I'm good. Ah, I'm good. But let me tell you, when the going gets tough, she's like, Elijah, I don't want your staff. I don't want your servant. Forget about the duck a l'orange. That will wait. Right now, you are coming with me. My friends, that is how we're going to walk into Encounter Weekend. This Friday, like 5 days away, we start 24/7 prayer. I want every single one of you to take an hour of prayer, grab it. I don't care if you fight out in the foyer. Get your hour of prayer, write your list, and come to God and say, God, this is what I want. And I am not. Sorry for yelling. Not really. I am not just going to walk through and have a nice little time and go about my day. My needs, I'm fine, thanks. No. What would you like me to do for you? You are coming with me. Anyone need an injection of faith this morning? This time, she is persistent, insistent, and determined. I am going to ask, and I am going to keep on asking. Sam Chan last week said what? Hold on! There is a book full of promises, and you and I just go, I'm fine, thanks. Oh! You are not fine, thanks. Come on! I'm getting excited. I'm just jumping there and do a lap. Cool me off. You're not fine, thanks. I want you to take that hour and say, God, I might have prayed this prayer 1,000 times, but this time I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. I'm not letting fear, doubt, embarrassment, shame, or any other thing the enemy would try and bring to my life to stop me. You are coming with me. The end of the story, Elisha, the man of God, goes to the very bed she prepared for him in the last season. The season when everything was fine, thanks. And the miracle of life comes back to resurrect her son. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite, and he did. And when she came, he said, take your son. And she took her son and went out. 1 John 5:14. I'm going to put it up on the screen for us. Somewhere here. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything, not just the important things, not just the desperate things, not just the things you think everybody else is asking for, not just the things that you can just, anything. We have confidence in coming to God and we ask for anything and He hears us. It doesn't matter whether this is your first Sunday in church or you just got baptized this morning. Sasha, He's going to hear you. When you pray, I met you on Good Friday and you told me a little bit of your story, and I don't want to embarrass you at all, but God's hearing your prayers. He's hearing you. He wants to answer you. All those things that you've held on to and you've wished for, you're going to change them into things you've prayed for, you've asked God for, you've stood in faith for. You said, you are coming with me. Is it Reuben and Susanna? There's breakthrough coming for you. I don't know what it is. God just said, there's breakthrough in this new season. There's a line in the sand that's going to be drawn. You're going to walk in a whole new space and place. I see you praying together and really declaring things out. God's going to prove Himself faithful. There's been seasons where you've got disappointment. And it's just made it so hard. And you think, God, do we have to pray for this again? He hears you. He hears your prayers. He hears you. As we approach this encounter season, take your hour. don't take three because someone else needs it. Nah, just kidding. You can take as many as you want. Please, let's not be people that go, oh, I'm fine, thanks. We're good. We're fine, God. I want every single one of us to say, God, I want this. I need healing in my body. I need peace in my mind. I need restoration of that relationship. I need your favor on my business, on my workplace, on the things that are going on in my world right now. I need your help, God. I need you, Jesus. I can't do this just by trying harder and being better. God, I need you. I need your supernatural power. I need you to hear my prayer. Lord Jesus.